Thank you. How beautiful. That's one of my favorite songs. Your prayer is my prayer too. We are divinely connected. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Over the past few weeks, my Sunday messages have been centering around the basic unity principles. And we began with a three-part series on the first foundation principle. There's only one presence and one power. And we did that by exploring the nature of the divine, the three aspects of unitary wholeness. The first person, I am. The second person, God in every pair of eyes looking back at me. And the third person, law, the underlying law that undergirds all of creation. Next, we went on to explore the divine nature, our divine nature, as we looked at the second principle, that all of us are spirit expressions of spirit with an innate goodness and an innocence, that a blessing of innocence that lives at our core. And today we move to the third unity principle, that the thoughts we routinely think create our experience of life. And so my talk title is Thinking Makes It So, and it's from the Shakespearean words, nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And so we've heard this teaching that we create our reality for many years and through many mainstream authors. Change your thinking, change your life. But what does it actually mean? What does it actually mean? Does a thought that I'm in poor health, for instance, create illness in the body? If I have a passing resentful thought at somebody or something, does that moment of anger set things into motion that can't be recalled? Should I be afraid to think? Have you ever wondered about that? So let's take a look at some of those questions. Does a passing thought create my experience? Well, it's estimated that we think upwards of 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day. I don't know who figures these things out, but they've done a lot of thinking about it, apparently. And the vast majority of those thoughts are negative or repetitious or both. And I can attest that pretty much all of the 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts take turns clamoring for my attention during my 20-minute silent meditation that I attempt to have every morning. It's like having a head full of unruly children. Do you know what I'm talking about? Imagine if every single one of those thoughts materialized before our very eyes. I don't know about you, but I would be living in fear of my life, really. So the key phrase here is passing thoughts, as opposed to habitual thoughts. We know that neuroscience tells us that the more often we think a thought, the deeper the groove it creates in our neural pathways. So it's not just about fanciful thoughts flitting through the mind. The more these thoughts repeat and fire together, the more they wire together. It becomes a well-traveled route as it turns into a habit. And that's the very reason that we can learn how to drive a car or play an instrument, because we have this ability. So it can be useful. But when we're dealing with habitual thought patterns, now we might be able to begin to discover some correlation between what goes on here routinely and my experience of my life. So habitual thought is a part of the equation, but there's another aspect to this. This creating your reality thing, it's not just about thought, it's also about emotion. Because information is not the same as transformation, right? How strongly our thought can activate and bring forth a feeling also has an impact. Richard Bach said, to bring anything into your life, imagine that it's already there. We have to imagine it so strongly, so vividly, that we feel the way we're going to feel when it comes to pass. That's one of the keys here. And the feeling is not the result of creating what we want in our life, it's actually the prerequisite. An intensity of feeling is the magic ingredient. feel the feeling first and continue doing so until it comes into being. So here are a couple of questions I've been asked by people diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. Did my fear of getting ill actually bring it on? Did repressed anger cause my cancer? And the answer I gave to both of these questions was an unqualified, I don't know. I don't know why one person receives a cancer diagnosis while another does not, when they're both struggling with unhealed wounds from their past. I may have my pet theories about it, but if I'm really being honest, I don't know. In the same way that I seem to know a whole lot more about parenting before I actually had children of my own, my understanding of another's medical condition is equally suspect and frankly none of my business. So if you end up with a condition like that, should you blame yourself for creating it? No. The correct answer is no. That's called metaphysical malpractice, and it does not help in the healing process. A much more empowering question than why did this happen or what negative thinking brought this on is, now that it's happened, what do I do about it? What action can I take without the added burden of guilt and self-blame? How can I discover and utilize the power within me? Well, scientific study has some very promising research about the ability of thought plus feeling to heal. It's through deliberate and sustained combinations of positive, uplifting thought focused on what it is we want to bring forward and sustained feeling of appreciation or care or compassion or whatever we're going to feel when it comes to pass, and intentionally shared, those two together, that can have a profound effect on physiologic change. Researchers like Bruce Lipton, Greg Braden, William Tiller, Candace Pert, Dean Radin, Joe Dispenza, Lynn McTaggart, if you read any of their stuff, it's pretty exciting.
Tom Campbell,
this is one I'm not aware of, but thank you. Many of them are conducting very robust scientific research that demonstrates the power of the mind to create change in miraculous ways. And the integration of these elements, thinking and feeling, brings together psychology and neuroscience. And from that, we have a personal experience of something new and transformative. So thought plus feeling, we can think of it metaphysically as the divine marriage, gets us traveling that road to transformation. But to really increase the effectiveness, there needs to be another member of the family. And this brings us to the third element in the transformative process. It's called intention. We have to get serious about this. You know, Unity's co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, she used this equation to bring about healing from tuberculosis, which in that era, over a century ago, was considered a death sentence. Thought, feeling, intention. She affirmed the truth of her wholeness. She felt gratitude. She saturated every cell of her body with love and apologized to every single cell for ever believing it was anything less than whole. What she did not do was sit for 15 minutes with positive thoughts and feelings and the other 23 hours and 45 minutes bombarding her body with negativity. No. She was serious. She was motivated. She'd been told she had 6 months to live. Now, it took 2 years of following this to turn it around, but she never gave up. She was completely healed. So it takes discipline in order to take a habit of incessant thinking and focus it in another area that we would like it to go. We have to have the will to do so, the intention to go through the practice, to make a different choice, and then continue rising above the former habit and make a new neural pathway until you see the internal change reflected in the outer. That's exactly what Myrtle did. We are stepping into being our true representative of the divine when thought, feeling, and intention are aligned. Do you see that? We stop being at the mercy of the reactive, shadowy, egoic mind when we combine, oops, what happened there? Thank you. When we combine thought and feeling and intention, put them all together, let bringing the will on board, thank you, dear, to drive the bus. Do you see? That's the key. And in so doing, we create coherence between the three brains. I know that sounds like a bad sci-fi movie, but in effect, we have a brain in our head, another one in the heart, another one in the gut, the solar plexus. And when we bring all of these together in an integrated fashion, we step into the arena of true transformation, cognition, emotion, intention. Now, Gary is doing a series on the stages of awakening as he goes through Michael Beckwith's four ways of viewing our life. Life happens to me, life happens by me, life happens through me, and life happens as me. And he talked last week about the first stage where life just seems to happen to me. I feel like I have no control. Things just happen in my life and I have bad luck. What I'm talking about this morning is the second stage when we step into our creative power, take the reins and say, I can change and transform. I am not a victim. I have the ability to focus my thought on what I want, feel how it's going to feel when I see it manifested, and the will to sustain this thought-feeling process until I see what I'm experiencing in the inner become reflected in my life. But this takes some effort. I mean, we didn't create those neural pathways overnight. Little by little, the ruts got deeper and deeper. So we want to have patience and know that as we choose over and over again to focus our thinking, activate the feeling, and not to give up, we will be successful. Now, having said that, what we don't want to do is force it to happen, right? Make something change, beat ourselves up if we slip into old habits, or try to do it all on our own. What we really want to get from this, when we follow this formula, focusing our thought, activating the feeling with intentionality, guess what happens? We open a portal to accessing the greater mind. Do you see it? We initiate the coming forth of the divine power within us. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Really? Higher consciousness within shows us the way out. But we have to be willing to listen. Whoops. We have to be willing to listen and follow the guidance that comes from spirit. So willingness to listen, following the guidance, is the fourth ingredient to successfully creating the life we want. And we all have access to this ability. As Emerson describes it, we lie in the lap of immense intelligence. And we are receivers and transmitters of the truth. It's the very all-knowingness of spirit that is at the center of our being. Divine guidance is within you. It exists for all of us, regardless of who we are, what we've attained or not, what we've done in the past or not. It's ours to use and open the channel. So what do we do then if we're following this simple formula and yet we aren't magnificently manifesting? You know, there's trouble at the border. Something keeps getting in our way. Well, we know that we're not victims, maybe, but we haven't quite mastered that life is happening by me as of yet. What might be the obstacle? Well, my experience tells me that it comes in the form of a blind spot of not seeing that I have a belief that I keep tripping over. It's an unconscious thing. And the way we can discover it, make it conscious, pay attention to triggering moments in your life. Times when you get your buttons pushed, you know what I'm talking about? When you overreact to something that is way beyond appropriate, stop. You can bet there's something underneath it all that is a limiting belief causing all kinds of havoc that has gone under the radar for a while so that we don't see it. Now, I came face to face with one of those kind of self-sabotaging beliefs during my doctoral program. If you ever want to discover any lurking limitations that you have bought into, a doctoral program is just the ticket. I asked myself so many times during those years, whatever possessed me to think that I could be successful at this? And I remember in particular one class that I took called History of Science. It was taught by one of the most brilliant professors I have ever known. I so admire this man. But I thought, I am never going to be able to manage this class and give him the caliber of work that he requires. I just don't have it, you know? And to make matters worse, this instructor was not one to give a lot of comments on my work. So of course I took that as a sign that he saw how hopeless I was. And so that whole semester I suffered. I suffered and suffered, Gary can tell you. And the work was getting progressively harder and harder and harder, and I had a final paper looming that was going to be, that was going to dictate the major portion of my mark in that class. I wish I had the cue process back then. I could have used it. That was a very good worksheet moment for me. But luckily, I had enough understanding to see what I was doing, to see that I was causing myself all of this angst. And of course, Gary's wonderful to live with, where he starts asking, what do you believe in here? And so I finally made peace with it by saying this, I am going to do every assignment the best I can. I'm going to study, I'm going to do the research, I'm going to work hard, and hopefully I pass this course. That was a little added piece to it. I don't care if I get a high mark, as long as I pass, then I'll be done with it. Well, at the end of the term, we received our marks, and I was sick with worry. I didn't want to look. I just didn't want to look. And I started praying, just please let me pass. Just let me pass, that's all. And so I finally looked, and when I looked at the mark, it said H. And I was so hung up on the fact that I didn't think I was going to make it that I said, H, is that worse than an F? And then I stopped and went, H, honors? What? I was so stunned. Even now when I think about it, it was like, you know the cartoons with the eyeballs going, 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 going? It was like that kind of a moment. And I caught an inkling in that moment of how the kinds of belief that I had about my own ability, the mindset that I had that I could not be successful in this class, had cemented into a belief system that had caused me pain this entire semester. Unnecessary pain. New Thought teacher Emily Cady wrote, "The fact is, each one looking at the same world sees according to the size of aperture through which they're looking. I was so caught up in seeing myself as unsuccessful, unable to do the work, that I looked through that aperture, saw the letter H, and gave it the meaning worse than an F." Now, I did not wake up every day that term and think, I'm going to spend the whole day worrying about whether the work I do is substandard and terrible. I didn't sit down at my computer to write the paper and wonder, how can I write the worst failing paper ever imaginable? It was totally unconscious behavior, do you see? It was tormenting me the whole time because I was emotionally living a lie. I had these thoughts coming to me that were lies, and I was emotionally living that lie, the belief. Namely, I don't have what it takes to be successful at this level of education. I don't measure up. Now, I would never have deliberately set out to do that to myself, and yet I spent the entire semester in torment, fearful, feeling like a failure, allowing limiting beliefs to dictate how my life was, and ended up with an honors. I could have enjoyed the ride. Do you see? Nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. By the way, this professor ended up on my dissertation committee, and when I saw that, I thought, oh no. But you know what? He was the greatest gift to me. The greatest gift. So what thought system have you constructed? What's your mindset? Becoming aware of that is the first step to freeing yourself from its grip. And it's time for us to widen that aperture. Start thinking like the divine beings we are, instead of letting the limited egoic self run wild. Do you see it? Alan Cohen said, "We believe the real part of us is fake and the fake part of us is real. We believe that if others knew the truth about us, they would run away screaming, while if they actually knew the truth about us, they would love us forever. And then he adds, we have tricked ourselves into incredible smallness. Isn't it true? It's about designing a new life from within, creating what Emmett Fox calls the mental equivalent, thought, feeling, intention, and then willingness, surrender to listen to the higher self, letting spirit sculpt and fashion our life. I mean, do you realize we have the capacity and freedom to think whatever we choose? It's called free will. And yet, instead, we default to an ancient pattern of repetition that loops around, endlessly confirming what we believe to be true. And our interior monologue determines our state of mind. So how free are we really if we're penned in by our unconscious mindsets? You walk in the atmosphere of your own believing, says Willard Fuller. We walk in the atmosphere of our own believing. So the good news is there's a reason our movement is known as New Thought. So consider this. Every sentence I have written in this talk had no say whether it stayed in the talk or not. I decided. I wrote a sentence, then I considered whether it belonged, or maybe there was a better way to write it, but I had agency over what stays and what gets discarded. Do you see where this is going? The truth is, thought is the very same. Thinking happens. You know, as I mentioned, whenever I sit down in the silence, I see just how much thinking happens. And we can feel like we don't have any power when it comes to dealing with our thoughts. They bombard us, they continue coming, they hook us till we find we've spent the entire meditation mentally compiling our grocery list. But the truth is that anybody else done that, or is it just me? Yes. The truth is that every thought has no power over its future. Just like the sentence stays or goes by my hand, the thoughts come and the thoughts go, and we have the power to not let them take root or take us down the garden path. As the Arabian proverb puts it, the dogs bark, but the caravan moves on. Now, despite our best intentions, thinking will continue to happen. The dogs continue to bark. It's the nature of thought. But awakening means we catch ourselves and return to the present moment. Catch ourselves and return. That's the point of power. And that moment when I saw what I had done that entire semester, culminating in thinking I had done such a poor job, I didn't even merit an F, it was such a wake-up call for me. I saw all the suffering I'd caused myself through all those months of worry and fear and self-criticism, all because I believed thoughts that were total lies and lived those thoughts as if they were real. And do you see how I absolutely created my experience of life through that semester? Because of my thoughts and feelings. Marianne Williamson writes about how she realized how powerful she was when she saw how completely she had messed up her life so far, and she wondered what might happen if she applied that same principle to being successful. Unity's other co-founder, Charles Fillmore, said, to be ignorant of mind and its laws is to be as a child playing with fire. An awakening means becoming aware of when default patterns of behavior are running our lives and being empowered to make a new choice. We are creative beings. It is in our nature to create. And we can consciously create or unconsciously create. And if our life is not happening the way we would like it to be, we have the power and we have the ability to change it. The effectiveness of our process will be connected to the intensity of the focus, the emotion, the energy we put behind it, along with our willingness to listen and do it a different way. So here's the formula. Positive thought, imagining what you want to come forth in your life, combined with feeling the way you're going to feel when it comes to fruition, with intention and continued practice, while being open to being guided from within, equals success. And that's what co-creation is all about. We are limitless. We are divine potential. We have access to a greater dimension of creativity, and we have tricked ourselves into incredible smallness. We do not serve this world by playing small. It's time for us to be truly free, be who we've come here to be, here to make a difference in this world, to realize that we have the power to change our lives. Are you up for it?
Yes.
God bless.